welcome to another edition of Live on Tape with Pete Tribuco right here on WWDB AM 860 Talk Radio Philadelphia, a Beasley Media Group radio station. It is a beautiful Saturday, and I'm just enjoying coming into the city and seeing all the fun stuff. And, of course, the studio here, it's great. We got a nice view of the skyline and everything. And I just love it. It is the holiday season. And guess what, folks? You are in for a treat today. We have got one of my best producers and my co-host. Oh, I haven't seen her in such a long time. Haley Simon is here today. Oh, my goodness. I'm so happy. She does so much work for this radio station and for the Philly Fanatic, which is our sister brother station, however you want to place that. And she's a big star. Okay. I mean, she's like the coolest. I'm sitting here in the studio. I'm looking at her. She's looking at me. And I'm looking at this and saying, man, I'm so honored to have Haley back on Live on Tape with Pete Tribuco. Haley, how you been?
Oh, Pete, I miss you. I've been busy. I was telling you when I walked in, I'm like, I think this is the busiest I've ever been.
Yeah.
But I'm happy to be back with you. As soon as we connected this week and I saw that my schedule was free, I was like, I'm coming in with Pete.
Yes. In fact, you know, we're in the holiday season. It's Christmas time. And Haley's wearing red. She's got a red sweater on. I've got my red T-shirt from one of the shows I did. I did White Christmas a couple of years back.
Yeah.
And I played General Flattery? That can't be right. Waverly. General Waverly.
Okay, yeah.
Okay, for the show. So we're all in red today. I got my Philly hat on. You know, maybe just to give the Phillies a little more, you know, luck for next year.
And they need it.
And the Eagles, obviously, we'll talk about that as well. But, yeah, it's great to have you back. I mean, I am just an admirer. You're recent in this radio station, but I'll tell you, you have done so much for all these stations, including Philly Fanatic. They use you all the time. You got your own podcast here. On top of that, you really know. I mean, I'm jealous. You interview all these great athletes, these hockey players, and you do all that stuff. And I definitely got to hook you up with Neil Villapiano, who has a hockey network thing going. He's real into hockey. And I think he's the announcer for the Islanders. Not the Islanders, the Devils.
Yep.
So I don't know if you were here when we interviewed him, but he is the coolest.
I did tune in.
He is the coolest guy, okay? So, Christmas time.
Yes,
that's right.
Time.
Couple weeks away. 10 days. 9 days away.
Nine days away. Wow.
And the one thing I love about the city is there's so much to do. You know, Lumen Nature at the Philadelphia Zoo.
I went there. That was awesome. I went for their media day.
Did you?
It was beautiful.
Did you really?
Yep. It's a nice little walk around the zoo.
Uh-huh.
I enjoyed it.
You did? Do you like zoos?
It depends. I like certain animals. I like the gorillas, I like the elephants, and I like the giraffes.
Okay.
That's it.
Well, then you're going to like the new Willy Wonka movie. They got a nice little giraffe in there. It's not a real giraffe, but it looks like a real giraffe.
But it is like
it's cool.
Animated.
It's animated, but it looks really real. I mean,
okay.
It's about as real as you can get, but I just saw the Willy Wonka movie. It's actually good.
It's good.
I wasn't crazy about the Johnny Depp version.
1 out of 10, what is it?
8.
Okay.
I would say
that's a good rating.
The music is so good, and the actor, it's just a nice job. The Johnny Depp was too dark.
Yeah.
That was scary. Yeah, it was.
It wasn't like a kid-friendly kind of movie.
And believe it or not, one of the Oompa Loompas, Hugh Grant plays one of the Oompa Loompas.
No way.
It's so funny as could be. With his voice, and he's like, but he's tiny, and it's pretty funny. But that's great. Yeah, so also, I'm looking at it, Tinseltown.
Yep.
Spectacular at FDR Park. You got to get to go there. You only got like 9 days left, actually. Well, no, actually, it's past that as well. But you really, really, really got to go and do that. The Longwood Christmas, Longwood Gardens
is
beautiful.
It's all sold out.
Is it?
I cannot get in.
You cannot get in.
Nope. It's sold out until after Christmas even.
Wow.
It was booked for months, though.
You know, that reminds me of like the Radio City Music Hall Rockettes thing.
Yeah.
I mean, that sells out, too, but... Wow.
But they have a couple slots that do open up. So if you go to the website,
yeah.
The day of, sometimes they do have a time that opens if somebody ends up not being able to go.
Really?
Yeah.
The other thing I've noticed, you know, I'm an amusement park guy. I've written 2 books on amusement parks. And obviously, you know, Hershey Park just does an amazing job. I know it's a couple of hours down the road.
It's so worth it.
It is. It's so worth going. I just went there. I met Rudolph.
You met the Rudolph.
I met Rudolph. There he was.
The red-nosed reindeer.
But he didn't have a red nose.
Wait, whoa, that's a violation.
Well, no. Well, see, the thing is with the red nose,
yeah.
It only comes out during the storm.
Really?
That's but you didn't know that
I
part.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, no.
I
there was Dasher, Prancer. They were all there. And then I saw Rudolph, and Rudolph was like kind of shy in the back there. You know, because they do have all nine reindeer actually at Hershey Park.
You're right. The red nose did only come out during the storm.
It only comes out during the storm.
Because in the movie, it was during the storm. Yeah. But then when you think about Rudolph, you always just assume that there's a red nose.
Did you ever notice that Santa is so nasty in that show?
Yes.
He is evil. I mean, you know, the reindeer are not bad. I mean, you know, they tease
some
him
of them
and
are a little bit mean.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But I tell you, Santa's really awful.
Yeah, Santa's not nice in that.
He's not nice at all. And then finally when he needs him, when he's begging, oh, you know, if with your rose so, you know, so red, whatever the hell it is, but won't you guide my son? No. I'm not going to do that. You treated me like garbage, and now
it's
you
like,
want
now
me to...
now you're going to be nice, Santa.
Exactly. I mean, it's ridiculous. I mean, you know...
He always has people working for him.
Yeah.
All the elves and now the reindeer.
This is true. And, you know, I'm in the amusement park, so Hershey Park is good. Mm. But also, right close by, you've got the celebrations of Sesame Place.
Oh, I love Sesame.
Exactly.
Right by my house where I grew up, so...
Yeah.
But so, I never went out there for Christmas time.
You should do it. It's actually a heck of a lot of fun. It was really, really, really nice. That's just another thing that I love to do. Holiday at Peddler's Village.
Need to go.
You need to go there. And, of course, Christmas Village in Philadelphia. Everyone knows that place.
Oh, yeah. I went in November to that. That was a good one.
And that's good because isn't that in the movie Shazam? I think that's in the movie.
Yeah, it's in the movie. It's also a free activity. I know that sometimes the holidays, it can be a little tough for people to do different activities, but that's a nice free event. You walk around, different vendors, ice skating, all of these things going on. So the city does a good job.
No, it does an amazing job. Holiday light show at Shady Brook Farm.
Yep, hometown favorite.
Very hometown favorite.
It's worth it. Best light show in Bucks County.
Yeah. Also, the Universal Sphere, is that still going or that's...
Universal Theater.
No, Sphere.
Sphere.
The Comcast Holiday Spectacular at the Universal Sphere, according to this...
Oh, yeah, that's still going, yep.
Yeah.
I didn't know they call it that now.
That's what they call it. And Independence, Blue Cross, River Rink. Do you skate? I know you do a lot of hockey players and everything, but do you actually skate yourself?
So, fun fact, when I was in college, I was on the figure skating team.
No.
Yep. So I do skate, but I tend to stay away from public rinks like that because the ice gets all choppy.
Okay.
And I'm one, if I'm on the ice, I'm like, I can't just be normal and skate around. I have to show off.
Okay. So you're one of those people.
I'm one of those, but I'm self-aware at least.
Okay.
100%.
Well, that's fantastic. That's fantastic. Well, it is the holiday season. And a lot of times we think of, you know, the people we know and the people we love, but sometimes we forget about the people that served our country.
Yep.
And unfortunately, don't get the all the recognition that they deserve. One of the things that I've noticed about that is, and my daughter, she works for the Veterans Association of Veterans Affairs over in New Jersey. And she interviews all these veterans that have PTSD and all these other illnesses and issues. And, of course, all the things that's going on. Camp Lejeune now with the water is another big issue. And it's really sad that we don't do as much for the veterans organizations as we should. And I have a guest on who basically Marine Corps guy himself, but he's just done an amazing job with his organization. And I hope I pronounce it right. I only heard it say it once, so I'm going to say Dennis Edesso. Is that correct?
Yes, sir, it is.
That is correct. And what is your organization, sir?
We are Ma Deuce Deuce.
Ma Deuce Deuce.
Ma Deuce Deuce.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
The name's derived from the 50 caliber machine gun. The Army and the Marines, we call it the M2 or the Ma Deuce.
Okay.
And we incorporate that with the scariest number in America today, which is 22, as in the amount of veteran suicides a day.
No.
Oh, man.
Has it gone down or has it gone up? Or what's the deal with the suicide rate at this point?
It really depends on how you hear about it or think about it. You know, you go ask the VA, they're going to tell you, well, it's at 14 a day now. I don't know about you. One a day is too many.
Yeah, absolutely.
But,
absolutely.
if you put in perspective, there's some states out there that if you commit suicide, they're not classifying you if you're a veteran or not. It's just a suicide. So think of those. And then there's a lot of times like veterans get strung out on pain pills. And yeah. then the VA says, well, we think you have a habit now. And they cut you off. So we go out onto the streets and we go see what we can get. And say you overdose, you know, it's an overdose. But in my eyes, I think it's a suicide because we were just trying to get by with what we had and was now taken away from us. And then as a combat vet, there's nothing like it. You know, there's nothing like that high extreme environment. So what do? When we get home, we go buy these crotch rockets and you'll go fly down the expressway at 200 miles an hour and you get into an accident. It's a vehicular accident, not a suicide. So if you factor in stuff like that, the number is a lot higher than 22, but 22 is the stigma, and that's the one that we're going to combat.
That's something else. And when did you start this organization? I mean, how long ago did you start this?
We're headed into our seventh year.
Okay.
Short story about myself. It's funny, I heard you guys talking about Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer.
That's right.
I originally wanted to be a dentist. And when I
Herbie! You wanted to be Herbie!
Yep. I made the mistake of saying that in boot camp, so my drill instructors would call me Recruit Herbie. But my buddy joined the Marine Corps, and he talked me into, like, hey, join the Marine Corps, and then when you get out, they'll pay for college. So I joined. I became I told the recruiter I had to learn something that I wasn't going to learn in college because I actually was in college, and I was told a cryptolinguist. And I was like, well, what is that? And he said, well, we're going to teach you a language, and then you'll listen to radios and read documents and translate it. And you might even help with, like, interpretation and interpreters and stuff. I think that sounds like a spy. Sign me up. So, mind you, this is November of 2000. I signed up to be a Russian linguist. I thought we were still fighting the Russians.
Okay.
I got the Defense Language Institute in Monterey, California, and they told me I was going to learn Arabic. And I didn't know why I was learning Arabic until about 18 weeks later, once I was there, and 9/11 occurred. And it's when my life changed. I didn't graduate as a linguist because we thought the war was going to be over real quick. You know, Gulf War was only like 180 days.
Yeah.
So I got reclassed as a motor transport operator. So I went to Fort Leonard Wood, learned how to drive a truck, a Hummer. And then I found myself on the border of Kuwait and Iraq in March of 2003. And we evaded. I was used as a translator. See, Saddam blew up all the bridges to get into Baghdad. So
sure.
my unit, we were a line company. We basically rebuilt 80% of the bridges from Kuwait to Baghdad. So I always used that those checkpoints to ask for weapons, or if there was a enemy combatant wounded, I had to translate if they needed, you know, morphine or drugs, because it is against some parts of their religion. But yeah, it was quite an experience to be able to speak their language and be in a whole new different country.
Not only that, Dennis, but it looks like you had two combat tours, 2003, 2004 as well. You were honorably discharged in 2005. And of course, the transition. And I know Haley had a couple of questions about that.
Yeah. So what was the most important skill that you think you learned, you know, when you're going to school and learning all of these different things that you just mentioned? Maybe something that you still utilize today.
You know, The Marine Corps made a man out of me. Like right before, I was just some punk kid who just thought the world owed him something. And, you know, I saw rich people all around. I just wanted, you know, at some point I was money driven. Dentists make a lot of money. And, you know, I picked dentistry because when I was in high school, I took a dental assisting course. So I became a dental assistant. Then I learned how to make teeth. So I was like a dental technician my senior year. I was excelling pretty fast and all that, but I was money driven, and you know, the Marine Corps made me disciplined and, you know, humbled, and just taught me how to, I you know, it's the ethos that I still carry with me today. But unfortunately, a lot of it, there came a lot of collateral damage that came with it as well.
You know,
I didn't really know if I had. Yeah, of course. One experience, we were right outside of Nazaria. There was a firefight ahead of us. We didn't engage in that one, but I can remember coming up around a striker. It's an experience that I used to not be able to talk about, but having the ability to understand a mother screaming to her God in Arabic, you know, why her daughter won't grow up to be a grown woman is an experience that, you know, I always say replays on the back of my eyelids. when I try and sleep at night.
Really?
I can remember this woman screaming, why God, my daughter, while she was lifeless, you know, completely covered in blood in her arms. It's a lot of collateral damage. It was just a lot of, you know, we were fighting the Fedayeens. We were fighting other types of Iraqis. They were firing at us out of schools and mosques, stuff that we weren't supposed to shoot into. And, you know, they were just a bunch of cowards. So the aftermath of engaging enemies is just a lot of experiences I wish I didn't know about. But unfortunately, I did. My last year in the Marine Corps, I literally bumped into my ex-girlfriend at a bar down the shore in Seaside Heights, and rekindled a flame, and, you know, we ended up getting married a few months later. And it wasn't until I got out of the Marine Corps where I wasn't around the same type of brothers anymore. You know, the friends that I had before the Marine Corps, I tried to hang out with them again, and it was just like, you know, they told me to man up. You know, I would tell them, like, I'm not right. I don't feel right. I want to stay home all the time. All I want to do is drink. And it was like, man up. Where when I was in the Marine Corps, I could walk out of my barracks, turn left or right, go 10 feet and tell somebody something, and they'd understand me, or at least give me that validation that I wasn't alone. I felt like an outcast. It was just, it was very hard to transition. You know, it took me 13 weeks to become a Marine. I spent 5 years as a Marine. I gained the rank of sergeant. I had men underneath me that trusted me with their lives. And then I was told, hey, you got 2 weeks and to return back to civilian Dennis. And it just took a long time to be able to do that.
So are you E5? Is that what you were? Or E6?
Sergeant, E5.
Yeah, we're E5. That's right. Well, I know that because I was actually in the military, too, in the Air Force. And I was a major pain, basically, pilot. But I never actually went in country like you did. So, you know, thank you for your service. You know, I really do appreciate that. You know, it's funny you bring up this whole thing with you know, that my dad was a Marine Corps guy, and he served in World War II. He was a Marine over in China, okay, and basically saw a little action when, you know, obviously they were doing the island hopping and all that type of stuff. And he's got such fond memories, not of the war, but of the training over at Parris Island and all the things that went on there and all the people that they met and so on down the line. It's incredible. I want to talk more about that right at the break. So we'll be back to talk with Dennis Odesso right after this. Each year, 5,000 people, including children, choke to death. LifeHack can stop these senseless tragedies. It's so easy to use also. Simply place the mask over face, push, and pull. You'll never regret having a LifeHack in your home or office. Please visit LifeHack.net today to protect you and your loved ones. Or you can call them at 877-LIFEVAC. That's 877-LIFEHACK.
Serving my country changed my life forever. And when I got home, every day was a struggle. I felt trapped. But everything changed the day my family received a specially adapted custom home from Homes for Our Troops. Now we have a safe and accessible home to enjoy the freedom I fought for.
Homes for Our Troops builds and donates specially adapted custom homes nationwide for severely injured post-9/11 veterans. Join our mission at hfotusa.org.
And welcome back to Live on Tape with Pete Tribuco. And, of course, I've got the lovely and so talented Haley Simon with me today. She's a great co-host, and I just love having her in the studio. She
Thank
brightens
you.
The whole place up. You do. You brighten it up. I know we're talking about a very serious subject here.
But important.
Extremely important, especially during the holidays. You know, our veterans, unfortunately, they don't get the best of everything. And I had that with my dad. I mentioned this earlier.
Yeah.
A Marine Corps guy. And basically, you know, he goes to the VA hospitals. He was going to all those things. And it just seemed like it was that the hospitals were old. There wasn't the equipment that they needed. Towards the end, before he passed, I noticed that a lot of staffing cuts were occurring. And there weren't as many nurses and doctors on duty. And it's a sad state of affair. you know, for us to be involved. And we have someone here who's trying to change that, obviously, and he's been doing a great job. Dennis Adesso from Ma Deuce Deuce, which is a pretty cool title.
It is.
For that. He's done a lot. Ex-Marine Corps guy, just like my dad. And let's face it, you Marine Corps guys, you're different than us Air Force guys. That's for sure. But Dennis, thank you for doing what you're doing. I know that you, 13 weeks over. Were you at Parris Island, by the way? Is that where you went?
Yeah, anyone on this side of the Mississippi goes to Parris Island. If you're on the other side, you go to Hollywood. That's what we like. They're Hollywood Marines. We have the fleas in the sand, and they have Hollywood.
Okay. You came up with a very startling figure about all the people who are the suicides. Can you give that number one more time? Because I am having a hard time believing that. And for new people that are just tuning in, this is the truth. So how many is that again?
It's 22 a day.
Wow.
If you want to set an alarm right now for an hour and 9 minutes on your phone, and I always tell this when I'm in a crowded room, I said, if anyone can set an alarm, everyone right now set an alarm on your phone for an hour and 9 minutes. Then I go and I'll talk my spiel for about 10 minutes. And then, everything's over. And a little bit later, everyone's phone's going off. And it's just a signal to say, yep, right now a veteran committed suicide somewhere in America. And it's startling. As I was saying before, I got out of the Marine Corps in 2005. I didn't really know what post-traumatic stress was. I took a job in Baghdad. I had to get back in that high stress environment. I was making a lot of money. I thought it was what a man had to do. I had two daughters and a beautiful wife, and it was like, hey, go make all that money. So, I loved when my wife would say, I want a new bedroom set. And she was like, I'm like, how much? She's like, $5,000. I'm like, go ahead. You can go buy it. No charge card, nothing. Just go buy it. And it wasn't until we were expecting my third daughter where my wife finally said, these big paychecks are cool, but you're not here. I can't be a single mom. Come home or we're done. And I came home. And from there, my life kind of spiraled. I was in these dead-end jobs, just wasn't, like I said before, I was money-driven. I wanted a new car. I wanted the perfect green lawns. I wanted everything that I thought a grown man would want. And it took a toll. And I had out-of-reach goals. And when I couldn't reach those goals, it took a toll on my marriage and my relationship with my friends and family. We went on, so every summer, my family, we go to a beach house in LBI, a Long Beach Island.
Okay.
There's like 15 to 18 of us, and we just hang out there all week and hang out and have fun. In August of 2016, my brother-in-law, who's also a Marine, we put away too many one night, and we got into a verbal altercation. And, the next morning I woke up, and I while everyone else was upstairs, I packed up my bag, and I just left, went home, sent my wife a text and said, listen, I'm done with you. I'm done with your family. I want to go back to Iraq, and hopefully I'll just die. I'm worth $1 million dead. Have a good life. And that night I got even more depressed and really drunk, and I took a handful of Xanax and washed it down with some Jack Daniels. And fortunately, I woke up about 15 hours later to about a million missed calls from my wife.
Uh-huh.
And I told her what I did. And she was very upset. And, she no matter what we go through, there's nothing ever worth taking your life over. I was going through an organization a few weeks later. And she said, if you go through this ORW and it doesn't work, fine. You can have a divorce and go back to Iraq. But, what do you have to lose to go? And I'm glad she said that, because I went through this organization. It was faith-based. I was in South Lake Tahoe for 5 days, and on day three, they basically sat me down and just said, tell me everything you hate about Dennis Adesso. And I spoke for like an hour and a half. There was a lot of things that I hated about myself and things that I've seen and had to do. And right after that, they said, now, make sure, put all that stuff in a box and put it on the table. And I put it on the table, and I closed my eyes, and they prayed with me, and they said, what do you want to do with this box? And I said, I want to give it to Jesus Christ. And I gave it to Jesus Christ, and they asked me what I want to do with it then, and I said, I want them to burn it. And I can remember just having my eyes closed and all those things that I hated about myself.
Wow.
Just burnt right in Jesus' hands. And I remember standing up right after, and I looked behind me, and the guy Kevin there was just like, you dropped something. And I said, yeah, and I dropped my pack. And it's figuratively. I got out of the Marine Corps, I think of an imaginary backpack. and that void that my brothers left from the Marine Corps. And I just started filling up with everything that didn't matter. Booze, you know, self-medication, money driven, you know, all that crap. And it felt so great to just drop that pack. And as I was, I say, like, had the scales removed from my eyes. I remember right after that, I got back to Newark Airport and I was supposed to take a shuttle home. You know, my wife had three kids. I didn't want my wife driving all the way to Newark. And I was at the baggage claim and I can remember smelling her. And I was like, wow. And all of a sudden I looked down and her arms are coming around from behind me. And I turned around and I just remember looking at her. And I told her, I haven't seen you in a long time. And we both stood there and cried right in the middle of Newark Airport. And she knew that I was forever changed, that a lot of the bad crap was gone. And I got to go home and talk to my daughters and just tell them, listen, daddy's back. You know, daddy's, I haven't been the best daddy, and I'm going to show you that I can be. And it's been 7 years, you know, right shortly after that brother-in-law and I, that I got an altercation with, he went through the same program. And then we basically said, why did we know about this? Why did it take 10 years of me trying to find a way around post-traumatic stress? So we started Modus Deuce, and it first started off with just promoting that you know, these faith-based organizations. And then some vets are like, you know, I'm not into that church stuff. So we started just going fishing, and then we did, like, they wanted to do yoga, and I was like, what am I going to do? Go find some 22-year-old tight body chick to do yoga with us? Nothing's going to get done. I reached out to Diamond Dallas Page. I remember him from the WWE. He does DDP yoga. Uh-huh. And he came out to Brick, New Jersey, and we had about 60 vets do yoga with him. It was amazing. And from there, it just took off, man. There's really nothing we can't do. We basically find what a vet wants to do, and we go do it for free. You know, this past summer, we sent over 400 veterans fishing. We have Blue Claws. It's a Phillies affiliate. Lakewood, Jersey Shore Blue Claws. We have season tickets. We sent over 300 veterans to a baseball game.
Uh-huh.
All season long, we've been going to Jets games. We call it JETS, or VETS, 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 where we just go to Jets games and with some veterans. We just find out what they want to do, and we go do it for nothing.
And the Devils, too.
And the Devils, yeah. We used to hang out with Kyle Palmieri when he was there. We're trying to get back with him, and maybe we'll go see some Flyers games. I'm sure Philly would like that. But yeah,
they do a lot of programs with vets, the Philadelphia Flyers, that I can get you in contact with.
I would love that. We would love to go do that again.
Yeah, they do Hometown Heroes every single game, Hathaway's Heroes, and they send out different vets to the games and honor them. So they do a lot with that.
Yeah, just recently, like last week, we got a nice grant from the Philadelphia Phillies, Phillies Charities. It was an amazing, you know. And I always say, like, it's my faith. I just think there's a lot of things that I want to do, and sometimes I put it out there, and God puts his finger in it, and it happens. You know, we were struggling with some funds since COVID. We're not able to fundraise as much. You know, our normal donations are a lot smaller, and these people say, like, Dennis, I'm sorry, the money's just not there anymore. So we were struggling. And out of nowhere, Phillies Charities is like, here, we're going to give you a check for $35,000.
Wow.
And I was just floored, you know. And it's even better because no one on my board collects a paycheck. We all have our own jobs. Mm. I actually work for the GSA in Philadelphia, right in front of the Liberty Bell.
Okay.
So no one from Modus Deuce collects a paycheck. The worst, the least thing we get is, like, we'll pay for our own gas or a meal if we're taking a veteran out. But you know, when people donate $100, $100 is going into the program. And the money's not always for things that we do. It's for, we help with unmet needs. So we may help with a mortgage payment or rent or, you know, right now we just had a veteran get out of the military, going through an ugly divorce, moved his kids back from California to New Jersey, started renting this home, and it was just really trashed. And the homeowner was like, I don't have the time or money to do it, but if you can find a way to fix this up, I'm not going to raise your rent or whatever. So, dude, in 3 days, we had the place gutted, painted, and this weekend, as I speak right now, I believe there's carpet and vinyl flooring getting put down in this guy's house for nothing. And it's just amazing. I like to say we're the conduit to a blessing. You know, if you can't spend your own money and bless people, bless others with other people's money. And we just have an amazing community that opens up their hearts and their wallets to us time and time again.
Sorry, go ahead.
So, Dennis, you talked a lot about your faith. Do you feel like faith saved your life? in your marriage and everything around you?
It's a lot of things. I always say find your outlet. And, you know, everyone's outlets is different. And I've been developing something like, you know, the Constanoga wheel, like those old wheels on the wagons.
Yep.
You have this big wheel and like 20 spokes in it. And think about it. If you only had one spoke in that wheel, it's not going to be supported. It's not going to be able to do what you need it to do. And if you had one long one and one short one, it's still not going to be able to support it. But if you have as many outlets as you need and they're all equally applied, it's going to support. And that's your restoration. So like my spokes are my faith. And I like to go kickboxing. I like to work out. And it's not always just physical. I like fishing and yoga, but it's always not physical. You know, part of my outlet is taking my wife out for an expensive meal or being at my daughter's lacrosse or soccer games and watching them score a goal. Or, you know, my one daughter's a goalie, watching her save the game and just be herald a hero, you know, in her game. You know, that's my outlet. Those are my outlets, and that's my restoration wheel. So it's a little bit of everything. Faith is a big part of it, though. If you don't have faith, and it doesn't always need to be God. You know, I learned when I went to this Operation Restored Warrior, there's religion and then there's spiritualities. Religion is the law. Everyone knows what religion is, but not a lot of people know what spirituality is. It's the walk. It's recognizing what's going on and then being able to apply what you have learned to make it work. You know, it's understanding the higher power. You know, they teach that in other, I use God, I use praying, and other people may just call it manifestation, but faith is a big part of my restoration.
Well, listen, thank you so much. We're going to be back with Dennis Odesto and, of course, Ma Deuce Deuce right after this. Each year, 5,000 people, including children, choke to death. LifeHack can stop these senseless tragedies. It's so easy to use also. Simply place the mask over face, push, and pull. You'll never regret having a LifeHack in your home or office. Please visit LifeHack.net today to protect you and your loved ones. Or you can call them at 877-LIFEVAC. That's 877 like that.
It's Jeff Kirkchin from The Andy Summer Show, and I've had the incredible opportunity to join the We Love You Foundation in bringing winter coats to kids in need here in Philly. Could you even imagine the cold winter days without a warm winter jacket? Well, here's the good news. You can make a difference. Head over to We Love You, that's the letter U, USA.org, and click on WeLo's Winter Clothing Drive. When you donate a winter jacket on the Amazon wish list, don't forget to add hashtag Philadelphia in the gift message box. Let's make this winter a little warmer, one jacket at a time. Join us at WeLoveYouUSA.org today.
And welcome back on a beautiful Saturday right here in Philadelphia. Pete Tribuco here live on tape with, of course, my co-host, Haley Simon. Great. I'm just so good to have her back. And she just does so much for all these radio stations. And I guess I got her for a little bit, which is great. As long as I have her on air. It's just an amazing feeling knowing that I've got not only Haley here, but I have an individual, Dennis Odesto. And Dennis is got an organization that helps veterans out, and it's Ma Deuce Deuce. They help a lot of people out by doing all these different events. PTSD is a major issue. I know people that have come back, and unfortunately, they're just quite not the same. Dennis, there's a movie, and I interviewed one of the individuals in the movie that basically was called MVP. I don't know if you know the movie. It's directed by Nate Boyer. It was on HBO and a bunch of different places, and it's a true story. It's regarding a retired NFL player's developing a strong bond with homeless veterans who suffer from post-traumatic disorder. And he's talking about the whole program that was put together. Have you seen that movie yet? And Dennis, if you haven't, it's a great movie to actually watch.
I've heard about it. I want to see it. But I've heard of the premise of it. And, you know, whenever I hear about stuff like this, you know, post-traumatic stress is not prejudice. You know, we find the things that we do helps other people who have post-traumatic stress, whether it was, a sexual assault or an accident, or I've met football players who, you know, these guys are at the top of their lives, and they're you know, jolly green giants. And then all of a sudden they hurt their back and it's over, you know, and they quickly fall down. You know, Diamond Dallas Page was talking about his inspiration for perspiration, where he, the same thing, they have all this money, all the girls, all the everything else, and then it's gone. And, you know, the same thing that we do for veterans, you know, Dallas does for wrestlers and many other football players. It's an amazing thing where we even have people that come hang out with us that go fishing or do the yoga or other outlets that we do use, and it works for them. So it's remarkable when you can have someone that understands this and wants to share it with others.
No, I agree with you on that. You know, that story, it got to me. In fact, I needed to have him on the air to talk about it because it resonates to make peace with your past, the good and the bad that happened. And I think that's what Nate was trying to do in that movie, and that's what you're doing. It's hard. I mean, PTSD does not go away. It's always there. You can deal with it, and you can overcome it. But let's face it, the things that you see when you're in country, and now we've got all these issues now, unfortunately. It's not a political show, but right now in Israel, you know, in, of course, the Gaza Strip, you see things that basically it's like, it's hard. And I guarantee even the soldiers there that are doing this and the people, it's going to affect them for the rest of their lives, and they've got to deal with it. And you did the right thing by getting help, and that's really, really good. For people that are out there that are listening in the Philadelphia area, okay, what advice can you give them if they're just out of the military and they're struggling? What advice can you give them other than come to your group, you know, come to Ma Deuce Deuce? But what else can you tell them at this point?
There's no shame in the brotherhood. A lot of these people think, a lot of my guys think, if I say something, they're going to think I'm a pansy. You know, we're alpha males. You know, it takes a lot, and alpha females, it takes a lot for a man or a woman who's been in situations like us where being tough is what kept us alive, to be able to say, hey, man, I'm struggling. And I found the most powerful words I tell a veteran is me too. You know, unfortunately, there was some political crap about those two words, but, you know, I use them for a different way. I have guys come out and crying all the time. And, you know, I tell them a funny story. I remember getting out of the Marines and sitting down with my two daughters watching Full House. And it was the episode where Uncle Jesse's uncle died, Uncle Bobbly, and he died. And, you know, Michelle and Jesse are in the backyard. And Michelle's like, Uncle Jesse, it's okay to be sad, but is it okay to cry? And I started bawling my eyes out. And I'm getting teary-eyed right now just thinking about it. And I thought I was being too soft. Like, what's wrong with you? You're a Marine. And that was the worst advice I could give myself. Let that hurt out. You know, we go through these situations where we can't feel, you know, and we have to do things we don't want to do, but we're trained to do so. So when you let that stuff out and you get to talk to others about it, you're going to find out that you're not alone in those ways. There's guys that will say, I'm angry all the time. I cry all the time. I drink all the time. I smoke a lot of pot. I yell at my wife. But, you know, it's endless. And, yeah, man, me too. And if I haven't done it, I got a big team of veterans. I may only know A through D of this guy's story. The next guy knows E through M. And before the end of a conversation or the end of a beer, we had this guy's whole story down and be like, all right, man, this is what you need to do. First of all, you need to come hang out with us. Veterans around veterans is much better than any pill the VA is going to tell you to make you feel better. I've been there, done that. And I do take medications because I do feel the shift, but it's not just those pills. It's a little bit of everything. I found sitting around a fire pit with four or five guys and a couple beers far better than any therapeutic, psychological appointment that I've had, even though I do have a very awesome psychologist. It's just consistently working on yourself, finding your triggers, and then dealing with those triggers so they don't happen anymore.
Let's go say somebody's considering joining, they want to serve. What is one advice that you can give them that you didn't get before you went into, the military?
It's more or less just saying be prepared to be deployed. You know, unfortunately, the times today, war is right around the corner. You know, when I joined, it's funny, my cousin was in the Marine Corps, and right before I joined up, I called him up, and I'm like, Chris, you know, aren't you afraid to go to war? And he's like, well, you know, not really, because I'm a Marine. But the dentist, I've never left California in 4 years. I was like, oh, all right, cool. So I joined up and I go to Okinawa for a year and come back to Camp Lejeune, and now I'm deployed. I went to Iraq for two tours. It was the best decision I ever made. The men that I still have, my men still call me Sergeant Adesso. You know, that's crazy that these men, 15 years later, I just had a whole bunch out for the Marine Corps birthday on November 10th. We did what we call a ruck, but you wear like silkies, these really short shorts. And we had a big 22.2 mile ruck. And then we did a big party afterwards, and seven of my guys flew out, and it was just having them around. It just warmed my heart and you know, refilled my cup for some times to come.
Well, that's really good to hear. So explain what a ruck is, because I don't think our audience really knows what a ruck really is. So explain it to our audience.
So normally we have a big event called Operation Rucket, and it's a 22 kilometer, which is 13.6 ruck mark. So a ruck is a sack.
Yeah, it's a sack.
Like I was talking before, we fill up your ruck. I dropped my ruck. So it's just like a big backpack, and you just put all your stuff in there. But we wear 22 pounds. So you can wear a ruck with 22 pounds in it. Lately, we all just been wearing weighted vests and 22 pounds. Everything with us is 22. So you wear 22 pounds to signify the 22 veterans who commit suicide daily. You pay $22, and then we walk 22 kilometers, and it's all down the Jersey Shore. And then we have a huge party afterwards. The year before COVID, we had almost 500 people rucking with us, and we raised over $65,000. And at the $50,000 mark, I had to shave my beard off. And I've done that twice, you know, and it's pretty funny, you know, for football fans out there, Julian Edelman shaved his beard for $25,000. And my buddies were like, well, you know, Dennis did it for $50,000, so Julian needs to step his game up. But yeah, it's one of our events. And now we have Operation Rucket that happens the third Saturday of every September. And now this year we did a smaller ruck. We're calling this Ooh Ruck. The Marines say Oorah. So we call this Ooh Ruck. It's a Silkies 2.2 mile. And then we just have a big party in downtown Toms River, which is right outside of Seaside Heights down the shore.
Well, that's about my speed, Haley. The 2 miles. That's about. I'm not going to go any further than 2 miles, I don't think.
Well, he said it's at Seaside Heights. So is it on the beach? Or is it just around the town?
Is it on the beach?
It's down. It actually starts in Bayhead, and we go almost all the way to Lavalette, and then we turn around and go back to Brick. But our first year, we made the mistake of doing it in the middle of July, really walked from Brick all the way to Seaside Heights, and we were all sunburned on the left side of our bodies, and it was like 102 degrees. And we're like, you know what? Maybe September's a better idea.
September is an ideal month for down the shore anything.
I think, yeah, because
it's our local summer, too. All the Shoebies and Bennies are gone. So.
They all leave.
Yeah, well, I'm a Shoebie. I'm definitely a Shoebie. I mean,
I'm not. I'm more just like of a shoe. Well, does it count if you have family that lives there all year long and you go down to visit them?
I'll allow it.
I'm like
okay.
A shoe.
You let them know Dennis said it's okay.
All right, I'll tell them that. And Dennis, while we're kind of talking about different events, how can people in the community, maybe people that are not maybe into athletics as much and people that just want to help out, how can they?
We're always needing donations, but it's not always about money. It's about time. You know, as I speak right now, I have three volunteers inside of an event. We're actually at an event today down in Seaside.
That's right.
Cooks, called SantaCon. So I'm sitting in my truck dressed as Santa right now, and people are walking by looking at me.
That's all awesome.
Here, but there's going to be about 300 to 400 Santas walking around Seaside today. It's kind of like a bar crawl. But everyone's bringing an unwrapped toy, and our toys are going to it's basically our Toys for Tots. But what we have is veteran children make a Christmas list. We put it on an Amazon list, and then our community buys all these presents. We put them in a big box, and we get the presents to these veteran families. So today we're going to bring in a crap load of toys. And I know right now we've already done 152 kids, and I know that list is going to grow before Christmas. It first started off with one family, you know, 6 years ago. It was a friend of mine. He was sprung out on heroin. And I said, listen, man, I'm going to bring you to detox. And, he's like, I'll go after Christmas. And I told him, you're not going to be alive after Christmas, bro. So I took him and I said, I'm going to make sure your daughter has a Christmas. And drove him out to Philly, left him at the VA, drove home, told everybody, listen, I need some gifts, this and that. I dressed up like Santa. A week later, we went to his house, dropped off a bike and all these toys. And from that year, it grew. The next year was like a couple more families. And then now what we have is called Audrey's Toy Chest. Audrey was working at the VA. She was doing it. We caught wind of it. And now we joined together. And, you know, last year we did 132 kids. This year we have 155. That number is going to grow by next week. But it's just crazy to see that it started off with one family. And now it's like, you know, divide however many. We do it by kids. It's 155 kids right now. And we're talking not just like dollar store things. I mean, one year, some guy bought us like four Nintendo Switches. You know, so we're getting amazing prizes from an amazing community. And it just warms the hearts of these veterans. Anything we do to take this stress off their plate works.
That's really good to hear. I tell you, you're doing an amazing job. We are talking with Dennis Adesso, and he has a great organization called Ma Deuce Deuce for the veterans. And we'll be back with Live on Tape right after this. Each year, 5,000 people, including children, choke to death. LifeVac can stop these senseless tragedies. It's so easy to use also. Simply place the mask over face, push and pull. You'll never regret having a LifeVac in your home or office. Please visit LifeVac.net today to protect you and your loved ones. Or you can call them at 877-LIFEVAC. That's 877-LIFEVAC.
I love the Army. You just have this brotherhood that you can't find anywhere else. Since coming home from war, I've tried so many different things. I just remember thinking, like, it's over.
After being forced to medically retire, Angie battled addiction to prescription medications, eventually losing her house and marriage. Then she found Wounded Warrior Project.
And so I went online, I signed up, and I knew that Wounded Warrior Project was definitely my new community. One of the staff members, she put me in for peer mentor training. It was like for the first time someone recognized something good about me and thought that I had something to give back to someone else. Are you doing okay otherwise?
I've kind of picked up woodworking with my grandfather.
Oh, yeah. So I saw 3D stuff.
All those activities gave me a new way to live without drugs, a new way to live without feeling like I'm broken. You can live a meaningful life after traumatic experiences.
You wouldn't go into battle alone. You don't have to fight this alone. Visit woundedwarriorproject.org/not alone.
And hello again, Pete Tribuco with, of course, Haley Simon here on Live on Tape. And we have a great guest, Dennis Adesso, and he's got a major organization and he's president and co-founder of the Ma Deuce Deuce organization, served in the Marine Corps two combat tours, 2003-2004. He's an Arabic linguist, a motor transport, honorable discharge in 2005. Marine Corps from the beginning to the end. And once you're a Marine, you're always a Marine. I learned that from my dad, basically, that you are always that. Simplify, Dennis. Listen, so now I hear you're not only a Marine Corps guy now, but you're dressed as Santa Claus and you got a nice little event going on right now. Tell us about that again, just for those that just joined in.
Yeah, it's SantaCon. It's starting at Hooks. You know, if everyone knows where, anyone knows where Seaside Heights is, we're right next to that big Ferris wheel.
Oh, yeah.
Starting at Hooks and then basically do a bar crawl through five or six other bars, and then we're just gonna party all day. They're bringing in unwrapped toys, and all these toys are gonna be going to veteran children in our area. It's kind of like a Toys for Tots. It's just we know where these toys are going, and it's toys these kids actually wanted. But anyone can come down at the time of hearing this. We're gonna be here all night. It's an amazing event. They're also collecting food for another organization we work for with is VetWork. So they have a food pantry. So right now, our veterans are getting meals and toys for the holiday season.
You're talking a lot about the toys and the meals. Is there any specific toys, food items that you think that people should maybe bring? I know sometimes people are so quick to bring like bicycles, but is there a specific toy that you feel like, hey, this could be really beneficial?
It's really just what's on your heart. I always just ask, like, just don't go to like a dollar store and spend $10 on 10 different things. You know, a nice Barbie or a set of matchboxes is much better than something that is just a stocking stuffer that they'll toss out. But
right,
you know, it's whatever on your heart. Every dollar counts. Every toy counts. You know, I have many stories where people wish they had more money to give. And, you know, there was a family that did a garage sale near us, and they raised like $328.
Wow.
And they were like, we would hope we would sell more. But I was like, no, every number has a meaning. And a week later, a veteran asked us to help him send him to one of that organization that I went through where I had my heart restored. Mm. And we bought his plane ticket. And his plane ticket was $328.
Wow.
So, like, there's always things that happen like that. Yeah. It's God, man. It's just God saying, all right, here's that $328 you're going to need a week later. And I just shake my head sometimes. Like, all right, when's the next time it's going to happen?
Well, listen, I tell you, I'm going to try to make it to Seaside today, okay? I'm going to actually try. I've got some stuff I want to give. Now, where exactly are these boxes going to be, you know, these actual drop-off spots? Is it one place or is it several places? Or is it that restaurant that you mentioned?
It's just at Hooks. If you Google Hooks, it's right on the boulevard.
Okay.
I'm trying to see what street I'm next to. But if you just Google Hooks, Seaside Heights, we're going to be here. It's like it's a nice bar. It's about two blocks from the ocean, a block from the ocean. We'll be here all day, all night. Just come out and say hi. Anyone else needs information about us, it's ma22.org. Or you can just go to social media, Instagram or Facebook, and spell out Ma Deuce Deuce. So it's MABEUCEDEUCE. And you'll see everything that we're doing. I like to say, you know, in the Bible, Jesus said, you know, those who believe in me will do bigger things than me. And we're doing miracles, man. It's just remarkable how easy some things become once you're doing it for the right reasons and you have your faith.
So I do have that address in case anybody wants to head out to Seaside Heights today to donate. It is 1320 Boulevard, Seaside Heights. So again, 1320 Boulevard, Seaside Heights.
You got that information. That's pretty good. That's so good. Well, I think we're just about wrapping it up at this point. Listen, Dennis, have a happy holiday. Merry Christmas. And thank you for your service. We do appreciate it. Again, that organization is Ma Deuce Deuce. They do so much. And now they're getting involved with the Phillies, the Philadelphia Philly organization is helping them out as well. So on behalf of myself and Haley, thank you so much.
Thank you, Dennis.
We will talk to you again next week.